The actor Liam Neeson got himself into a lot of trouble this week when he revealed that he thought about killing a black man after someone close to him was raped. Now, I should stress it was 40 years ago. We also had this week the best-selling author of Woman in the Window, Dan Mallory, was embroiled in huge controversy following an article in New York magazine, or New Yorker even, accused him of lying about various members of his family and alleging that he had cancer. Indeed, they're not the only members of the artistic community that have found themselves at the receiving end of serious criticisms and, as we all know, most particularly, allegations of abuse recently. So it begs a question, or maybe it doesn't. Can you separate the art from the artist? Can you go to enjoy a movie or read a book or listen to music if the artist has fallen from grace? And I guess you could say that we're between Twitter and all of those other social medias and competition to know who's the most outraged, that things have obviously changed a bit. Well, anyway, joining me now is Ethna Shortall of the Sunday Times. Let's go back over just briefly about Liam Neeson.
So Liam Neeson was doing a promotional interview with the Independent newspaper in the UK for this upcoming film, Cold Pursuit, which is a revenge film, the kind of film we've come to expect from Liam Neeson in recent years. As part of the interview, it was probably a 15-minute quick turnaround, in with one journalist, out with the other. As part of the interview with the Independent, he told this anecdote about 40 years ago, he had returned from overseas to learn that a woman that was very close to him had been raped. He'd asked her if she knew who the culprit was. She didn't know who it was, but she knew that they were black. And so Liam Neeson said he went out with a cosh, which apparently a lot of people were looking that up, what that was this week, a weapon. He went out for a week and he walked around certain parts where he thought he would run into black people basically waited for someone to start on him so that he could hopefully beat them up.
And he also said that he was deeply embarrassed about it.
Yeah, so exactly. So that was the beginning of the anecdote. The point he, I think, was making was the second part where he said, to quote him at the time, he said, "It was horrible, horrible when I think back that I did that. And I've never admitted that. And I'm saying it to a journalist, God forbid. It's awful, but I did learn a lesson from it when I eventually thought, what the F are you doing?"
Right.
So,
yeah. So there have been different interpretations. Some people have said he was very brave to come clean about something that he did all those years ago. Other people say, what's the fuss? Other people say, outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous and racist. But there have been consequences. The red carpet has been called off.
Yeah, so the film he was promoting, Cold Pursuit, there was to be a red carpet event a couple of days after this interview went out in New York. That was cancelled. The film has gone on release. It's not out for a couple of weeks here, but it went on release on Wednesday in the States. And it was expected to make between 7 and 10 million by Sunday. In the first two nights, it had only made $540,000. So it looks like it won't make the money that it was expected to make. I think what's interesting is at the beginning of the week, he looked doomed. I mean, a lot of the context, you know, a lot of the bit where he said he was remorseful or ashamed got lost, and the concentration was on this event, which at the time, 40 years ago, the thing that he did then was indeed a racist act. The fact that you would look for any black person to make up for the crimes, apparently, of one. But other people saying now that means he's still racist. Other people saying we can learn. If we can't learn, how do we get any better? I think what helped him to an extent, and what hopefully for him anyway will help, is the well-known black celebrities that came out and spoke to his defence. The first was the footballer John Barnes, the English footballer. He made the point that we're all unconscious racists. He respected him. In fact, I think he said he deserved a medal for his honesty. He said, if we're going to start this, then we're going to have to take down statues of Winston Churchill, who was a white supremacist. So he was very much on side. Whoopi Goldberg also came out in his support. The African-American actor Terry Crews, Michelle Rodriguez made a less glamorous defence of him. But there has been support and that might help, but definitely this week the success of this film is not looking good, and nor is his future career. He has two more films coming out this year, one of which is the new Men in Black film, and there are certain parts of social media calling for him to be removed from that film, or it's going to get to an extreme level right. when that comes out. Yeah,
you know, I was talking to Tony O'Brien there earlier on, and it's very, very hard to know what is appropriate and balanced in certain cases. I mean, we had the whole Me Too, Spacey was taken off House of Cards.
Yeah.
What effect did that have?
I mean, for Kevin Spacey, so at his... what he was accused of is, I would say, far more serious, because he has been charged with serious sexual misconduct. So he was taken off as soon as the allegations came out, before there was any official charges. As soon as the allegations came out, he was removed from Netflix House of Cards for the final season. And he was also removed from a film that had already been made, All the Money in the World, a Ridley Scott film about the Getty family. They took out all his scenes and they reshot them with Christopher Plummer in the role. So that was probably the most extreme reaction we've had to one of the Me Too allegations so far. For House of Cards, the ratings were down for the final season that he was removed from. It's hard to know how much of that is down to his absence or maybe just a show coming to its end.
Yeah. It has to be said he's denied all those allegations.
He has denied them, yeah, and he'll be back in court.
Do we not give due process? You know, I mean, again, Tony O'Brien was sitting there and saying, you know, people rush to judgment and rush off their head, without waiting for the due process.
Yeah, and every case within Me Too and, you know, anything that's happened afterwards, every case is different. So there is a difference between someone, obviously, that is accused of sexual assault and someone who, say in the case of Liam Neeson, someone who thought something very stupid and did right. something potentially stupid 40 years ago. So, when you are famous, the public, whether they should be or not, they are your jury, you know? And, like, if no one's going to go see a Kevin Spacey film, well, then he can't make a career anymore. And this...
Well, it's probably that nobody will put the money in.
Well,
and that's a bit unfair until he has gone through due process. Michael Jackson, for example.
Yeah, so Michael Jackson is one of the most recent people facing these similar allegations, and it's not the first time that he's come up against them. There was a new documentary, it's called Leaving Neverland, which was the name of, obviously, his home. That premiered at the Sundance Film Festival 2 weeks ago, and it will be on HBO and Channel 4 on this side of the Atlantic in the spring. So in that documentary, Wade Robson and James Safechuck both claimed that they were sexually abused by Michael Jackson when they were 7 years old and 10 years old. Michael Jackson has faced charges before of child molestation in 2005, but he was acquitted on all 7 counts and also on 2 counts of giving a drug to a 13-year-old boy. Interestingly, at that court case, Wade Robson, who seems to be the one that's to the fore of this new documentary, he, under oath in court, said that Jackson had never acted inappropriately with him. But now, years later, he is saying that he was abused.
He said it came through counselling or...
Yeah, he said when he went to therapy in 2012, which was 3 years after Jackson died, that was the first time that he felt comfortable enough to open up and tell the shocking truth about what had happened to him. It should also be said, though, that he did launch a lawsuit against the Jackson estate over these claims in 2013 for $1.5 billion, both him and James Safechuck, and that was dismissed.
Dismissed, yeah. These things are very difficult. I mean, there's nothing he can do to get his reputation back, Michael Jackson. But I gather some radio stations have been asked, you know, campaigned not to play his music.
I hadn't heard that.
Right.
So I didn't know. I know, like, with R. Kelly, who's a separate case, and we'll come to that.
Tell us about him.
Have stopped playing his music. So R. Kelly was, again, another documentary or a docu-series, which was aired at the beginning of this year. It was called Surviving R. Kelly. And this featured several women who made claims of sexual abuse allegations against R. Kelly, who people will know as an R&B singer. He sang I Believe I Can Fly and Ignition Remix, Trapped in the Closet. So the documentary basically follows up on allegations that first came up in 2017, which is that R. Kelly is running what has been called a sex cult from his home, where he's holding several young women there. Now, the charges were made by the girls' estranged parents. Both Kelly and the women have denied that they're being held there or that it's any kind of cult. And Kelly is reportedly taking legal action against the makers of the docu-series. But what works against him is that this is not the first time that there has been a bad smell around him in such regard. There were child pornography charges before, which he was found not guilty of. There were also images found in his house relating to child pornography, but allegedly
he denies.
He denies, and they were dropped, but they were dropped over issues with the search warrant. So when it's not as clear cut as being acquitted, sometimes it can be harder, I think, to get your reputation back. So I think he's in trouble. Yeah. I personally don't think it looks good for him. I would be slow to be dancing to Ignition Remix, even though I think it's a very good song, but there's a bit of a bad taste there.
Okay, Roseanne.
And so it's not just men. Roseanne Barr, who people will know from the sitcom Roseanne, which started in the late 80s and ran through into the 97, and it came back last year for a brief stint, and it did really well. Ratings were great. But then Roseanne Barr sent a tweet about Valerie Jarrett, who is a former advisor to former
Obama.
American President Barack Obama. Yeah. She says it wasn't racist. It looked particularly racist. I won't read it out. But she defended the language. Then she apologised, but still said it wasn't racist. And anyway, the network just pulled the show. Roseanne was taken off air, and later they made a spin-off with the rest of the family, but not her. I mean, it would have been very hard to make the show Roseanne without Roseanne.
Do you think that you can say, what's your own opinion? I mean, I don't know, we don't know the credentials of, well, we do know a lot, actually, I was going to say about Leonardo da Vinci, but it doesn't change the work, does it?
Well, no, but it might change how you consume the work. And so that is really very personal. For me, the first time I really thought about it was 2010, Roman Polanski film. Now, Roman Polanski is someone that has pleaded guilty to statutory
yes.
rape. And he, in the 70s, he fled America before he could be sentenced. So that really sticks in my throat, both the charge and the fact that he thought he was too good for the judicial system. And so, anyway, he had a film out in 2010, The Ghost, with Pierce Brosnan and Ewan McGregor. And I went to see the film and I thought it was good, but about halfway through, I was so annoyed at myself for going, for paying, for giving money to him, for what I felt like was supporting him when he, as a person, I found his behaviour abhorrent. And that's kind of the first time I thought about it, and I couldn't really enjoy the rest of the film. So I do think it depends on the person, on what they're accused of.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but you're still innocent until proven guilty.
Well,
he admitted,
so I think that's
I mean, there's another story, but I might get a chance to read it out later, about Woody Allen suing Amazon Studios, who have cancelled the material. But
yes.
I leave that there for the moment. And thank you very, very much indeed. And that was Ethna Shortall of The Sunday Times.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.